All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Second half hour tonight. Hobo Frank, Chris Sill in the house. And before we go to Coach McKay, we're going to go ahead and do the LeClaire-Ryan play of the game, which, no surprise, comes from last night's basketball game. Frank?
Well, of course, we selected the men's victory last night in JPJ. The Wahoos won 61-52. The UVA defense paved the way again, but after much debate, we felt like first-yearman forward Evan Nolte hit back-to-back three balls that lifted the Wahoos over the heels. Those two baskets seemed to just buckle the knees of the Tar Heel defenders, and a close second would have been Jesperson's changed hands in midair on that drive to the basket where he banked it in with his left hand with a minute 52. I almost want to give both players credit because those were huge plays. Anyhow, a huge win for the Wahoos to get off on the right foot in the beginning of the ACC part of the schedule. And, you know, let's give Evan Nolte a lot of credit for those big long-range bombs.
Absolutely. Do you want to do the honors with Coach McKay, or do you want me to do it?
Love to do it. All right. Coach Richard McKay has been a previous guest on Who's Talking, and former head...
That's his biggest claim to fame, by the way.
Well, he was also head coach at Liberty University in New Mexico. He's a 1987 graduate of Seattle Pacific, for those of you out there that are trying to figure out how old he is. He's got a lovely wife, Julie, and three wonderful young children. We're delighted to have Richie McKay, associate head basketball coach of the University of Virginia.
Yeah, Coach, this is Jim Hopgood and Frank Melody. Thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, as we said, I talked to you a little bit before the show. Congratulations on the win last night. Why don't you just make initially a comment or two about the game in general last night and how hard the kids played?
Well, yeah, anytime you get a chance to beat a story program like UNC, I think it's good for them. Other than Coach Bennett's celebration dance, it was a home run night. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but Coach came in the locker room afterwards, and he had Ronnie Weidman, our assistant athletic director in charge of men's basketball, cue up a little 15-second. I don't know what kind of music it was, but Coach started dancing, and the players loved it. If they wanted to have their phone, it would be in the top 10 of YouTube hits today. But it was great. It was great to see. I mean, hats off to Keel Mitchell, who didn't practice, and we didn't know if he was going to play or not. And he gave it a go, and he not only – and his scoring numbers probably weren't what they have been, but – rebounded and defended were really critical to our success. And I heard you guys mention Evan Nolte and Jontel Evans. What a shot in the arm! Shot in the arm it was to have him back. And Joe Harris was may have been the best player on the floor last night. So all around, great team effort, especially from our bench, and we were really pleased.
Coach, I know you're not part of the medical team, but you mentioned Akil Mitchell, and of course I know Darian Atkins got a little shin issue, and might ask you about him as well. How close is Jontel to being 100%?
Yeah, tough for me to say because, as you alluded to, I don't know much about the medical side. I just think Jontel, you can see him better every day in terms of getting his game pace back. And for Jontel, who relies so much on quickness and explosive moves, I just think the longer he does it, the more confident he gets, the better or the quicker he'll return to form. And, you know, as far as the Teal and DA, let's just hope they can survive and we can avoid any further injuries. Otherwise, we might be calling you guys for
Well, if you're calling on the old Hobo, you may be scraping the bottom of the barrel here. You know, my vertical leap is not what it once was.
Being the, you know, what memory you have left.
You know, a couple of statistics from last night's game, Coach, really impressed me. Points in the paint, even at 24. You know, I've been around the ACC a long time, and I know Carolina is always inside first, so you were able to shut down the inside game to some extent. And, of course, the other thing the Tar Heels pride themselves on is assists. And Virginia had 14 assists in the game, and Carolina only had 9. So you really did a great job on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our program from the day that he arrived, as well as some of the teams at Washington State, you know that we're going to usually be pretty sound on the defensive end. And I tell you what, if you guys, and to come to one practice, you couldn't appreciate it, but having a head coach for 13 years, and I've grown such an appreciation for his ability, which is a defensive end. He's the best of the, and because of his humility, he'll never get credit for. But our guys are in, and the longer your defensive system, the better you get at it. And I think you guys hit the nail on the head. The Carolina team traditionally usually is going to get a bunch of buckets in the lane, and I thought we went toe-to-toe with them that way. And they score a little bit differently this year with Coach Williams' team, their youth, and relative inexperience. Taking nothing away from our guys, I just thought we were ready for the fight, especially in the second half. And you know, the assist speaks to our unselfishness, and hopefully we can continue to grow in that area as well.
Coach, broader question maybe. This being the fourth season for you and the other assistants and Coach Bennett, do you guys feel that you are getting closer to where you'd hoped you would be at this stage? And with the two guards coming in next year, will that be the final kick in the door talent that takes you where you really want to go?
Yeah, good question. You know, I tell you, our staff is pleased with not only the kinds of players that we have, but the kind of people we have. I think we have great representatives of the University of Virginia and its athletic department. So we're pleased that way. And if, you know, quite honestly, if we would have remained healthy here, the way we were playing prior to Hassan going down and then Malcolm getting hurt and Joe breaking his hand, you add to that this year, we don't have Malcolm, Anthony Dill, our transfer, sitting out. And next year you've got London and Devin. We feel like we're certainly getting closer to talent-wise to the, you know, the upper half of the ACC. Yet, you guys know this, talent is only part of the equation. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have to have good players, you have to have guys that have a high level of buy-in, that have humility and passion and are able to function appropriately in a team setting. So we think we have that, but we'll know a little bit more as this season winds down and we start up next season. But in answer to your question, I think we're pleased, certainly not satisfied, but we think we're headed in the right direction.
Coach, back to last night's stat sheet, you probably noticed you shot a better percentage from outside the three-point line than you did at the free throw line. Now, maybe some people don't realize this. To shoot a free throw, you have to be at least 15 feet away, but you could step back to the three-point line and shoot your free throws from there. Maybe that would help.
Yeah, I think they must have been watching Coach Bennett's old tapes because we were shooting it lights out from behind the arc last night. But that was an aberration. I mean, if you look at our stats over the course of the year, I think we've been pretty decent at the free throw line. And I think because we work on it a ton, I don't think you'll see many nights like we had. Let's not at least.
You know, the funny thing is that you're too young to remember this, but Hal Greer, a guy who used to play for the 76ers, used to shoot a jump shot from the free throw line. So
if Coach called me working on me or any of the others just working on a jump shot at the free throw line, I might be quick to a radio career.
Coach, how's our buddy Jason Williford doing? Is he still dressing up and practicing with the players and teaching them defense?
Well, I'm not sure Jay Williams was ever teaching them defense, but he doesn't get out as much, but when he does, he's still effective. Yeah, I tell him this all the time. If I were a head coach, I would want Jason Williford as my small or power forward because not only the feel that he has for the game, his talent and ability, but his competitive nature and his buy-in, especially to the orange and blue, are phenomenal. He's such a great asset to this program, and not just on the coaching side, but I think he gives us a connection with the former players, and obviously with the great lineage that UVA basketball has had, that Jay Willie's at the center of that for us. So he's invaluable for our staff.
You know, we've got one of his former teammates, Yuri Barnes, joining us next week in studio, and I almost wish we could get him, you know, maybe Jason on the phone while we have Jurie maybe in studio, because the two of them are a riot. But I think Habbo's got another question for
you. Yeah, I was just going to ask, what was the magic? You know, last night, I think a key moment in the game, coming out of the locker room in the second half, Carolina goes on a 9-2 run, opens up an 8-point lead at like the 17-21 mark. Coach Bennett calls a timeout, and all of a sudden the trend was reversed. What were the magic words he used in that timeout huddle?
He told them that we were going to go to the Flaming Walk if we won, and all of a sudden, no, I'm just kidding. You know, honestly, that's the great thing about Coach. He reminds them of the fact that we do. He doesn't get mad often, but certainly we had come out with a little bit of lack of execution on the defensive end, and didn't do. We put those words of reminders, to their credit, they finally hit a couple of big buckets, and I think the Evan Nolte three, when he shot it from at least 30 feet out, no, the crowd gasped before he shot it, and then the eruption afterwards, I think that was one of those as a coach, Evan, what are you, great shot!
Yeah, absolutely, he was feeling it. That was my kind of shot right there. He was open.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, Coach, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us tonight. We wish you nothing but the best. Hope to have you back on before the season's over. Good luck on Wednesday night down in Winston-Salem.
Hey, Tony, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Coach Richie McKay, the associate head coach over there in Charlottesville. Apologize, obviously he was on a cell phone connection. It broke up a little bit from time to time, but we thought it was important to have him on the show tonight following that big win last night in Charlottesville.
All right, Habbo, bunch of different thoughts. You know, clearly Virginia took care of business at home. The key in ACC play is you've got to win your home games. Now the Wahoos go on the road. And why don't you help us handicap this upcoming game? We've got Wake Forest, 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. Here's another late game. Maybe this group of players likes late games.
Well, of course, the other thing I looked at today, since we're in the ACC schedule, you know, the 18-game schedule with 12 teams, everybody, there are four teams that you only play once. In Virginia's case, Wake Forest is one of those four, so we play Wake this week on the road, don't play them again, have Miami on the road, and then the advantage Virginia has is they only play Duke once, and it's in Charlottesville, and only play NC State once, and it's in Charlottesville. So, you know, a lot of people think Duke and NC State are the two top teams in the ACC, so some people would say it's advantageous that Virginia only plays them once, and they play them in Charlottesville. But regarding Wake Forest, you know, I think the key with Virginia, you know, focus. And we've seen it in the last couple of weeks. Last night, you know, if they have the focus and they play hard and they do what they need to do, which is defend, take care of the basketball, and make shots, they can beat anybody. If they don't, as they showed with Old Dominion, they can lose to anybody. So I think, you know, down in Winston-Salem, they're just going to have to get down and play with effort, play smart, but it's certainly a game that they have a great chance to win, I think.
Well, the scrappy Deacons are, you know, going to be fighting for their lives down there.
Well, it's, you know, in some ways it's sad because, I mean, I think back at Wake Forest. I went down there many times as a broadcaster where that place was absolutely packed, going back to the Tim Duncan, Randolph Childress era. So, you know, Wake Forest basketball has definitely fallen to a lower level, and I'm sure the Deacon fans are anxious to get it back.
Wake Forest is now 7-6 overall and 0-1 in the conference. And, you know, for them, this game represents sort of a desperate situation for them.
Yeah, I'm sure their coaching staff and players want it in the worst kind of way. So the Cavs are going to have to be ready to play, as you said, 9 o'clock. I think that's on Raycom. I think it is on TV Wednesday night.
Yep. All right, we are going to go to break. When we come back, we might share a few thoughts about the NCAA BCS championship game, Alabama versus Notre Dame.
Oh, there's a game on tonight?
And there's an Olympic sports report as well with Chris Sills. So stay with us. You're listening to Who's Talking.